Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of Mishmash Mayhem.
Mishmash Mayhem.
The podcast where we take the schoolyard conversation of, hey, which one of these fictional characters would win in a fight, and we talk about it in a podcast.
That's what this is.
Really? Well, goddamn.
I didn't know podcasts were even real. So how's it been? It's been a while for people not listening. I went on holiday. You didn't go on holiday.
No, I've got a new job and have now work night shifts. So that is why our scheduling has been a bit all over the place. So episode 7 was delayed by a couple of days, and episode 8 is probably going to be delayed by, this episode is going to be delayed by a week, maybe two. We'll see what happens.
It's just like a midterm break. It's like Easter holidays.
Yeah, we would say that if we had planned it.
The audience don't know that. I mean, they will, because it isn't edited into the episode. It's like, we will be having a break, so...
Sure, and I also put out a tweet this morning saying about it. Yeah, so it's been a bit unfortunate. Hopefully, going forward, we can not have any more delays for a while.
Hey!
It's just been sort of, with my job changing, it's been a bit difficult to find the time to fit us in and sort of do a bit more recording, and then... Just as I had sort of adjusted to being on nights and was like, hey, I can do some recording. You went on holiday. Which, it's fine. I'm not complaining about you going on holiday. It's just one of those things.
It's a good holiday, though.
No? It's good.
I rode a camel. It was called Jiujian.
How many humps did it have?
One. It was a one-humped camel. I don't know what the difference is other than the amount of humps. Roxana was saying that. I don't know. I think Egyptian camels have two.
Fair enough. I'm Chris.
I'm Wade, or Matt Wade.
So are you excited on this fine day, the 11th of May, day of recording, to be finally doing another episode?
It is the 11th of May. Yeah, it's good. We'll get back to business and we'll defeat the Huns.
Cool. Also right. Damn it, man, stop fiddling with stuff whilst you're talking.
I can't help it. I really can't. Maybe I could be Matt the Fiddler.
Yeah, but not like a fiddler, like a musician. Just a fiddler, like pain in the ass.
I mean, my costume would be like almost identical to the Riddler's, and it'd be really confusing. They'd be like, "You're the Riddler."
Instead of question marks, it'd just be all different things sticking out of your costume that you can twang,
like a boppet.
Yeah, that's it. You're just a human boppet.
Riddle, and I'd be like, "Fiddle me this, bop it, twist it, press it." Click it, and they'd have to do the things on my costume, and then I'd do it like a couple of times. If they got anyone wrong, they'd be like, I'm electrocuted or something.
That is the best worst superhero ever.
No, super villain.
That's what I meant.
Fiddle me this, Batman. Pop it, twist it, flick it, spin it, pop it, twist it, flick it, spin it, twist it, pop it, spin it, win it. I can't keep up with his riddles.
I really hope that people listening, I'm just sure there's going to be someone listening who doesn't know what a bopper is, who's just really confused.
Oh, this needs to make an end. I love our crap conversations, they're so good. Oh, Lord. Oh, dear.
So before we tangent again, how does an episode work?
Okay, so what happens is we introduce ourselves, we talk about shit for a little bit, and then we're going to introduce our characters, our beings of fighting potency who are going to do battle this magical day. We'll go through them one by one. We'll start with the reigning champion, if there is one, and then we will go through stuff like their abilities, their tactics, what they like for tea. We don't normally go into what they like for tea. Their capabilities and all that jazz. And then after we've gone through both of them, we will roll the die of death.
The die of death.
To see where our combatants will fight. This is a 20-sided icosahedron. That's a bit of tautology and fun mass words. That will determine where they will fight. We have some vague and specific locations ready, and once we know what it is, we will then decide how vague and specific we want it to be before we then begin our discussion role play thing on how we think the fight will go.
So at the moment, we do have a reigning champion.
We do have a reigning champion.
Miss Altaria Pendragon.
Or Saber for short. I'm aware that Saber isn't short for that, but it's their other name.
She's quite like up there and British. She probably likes pie and mashed potato.
She probably likes pie and mashed potato. I mean, did they have mash in the Middle Ages?
Yeah.
Was mash.
Did they have game pie?
In the Middle Ages. Recipes for making the dish. What? How do you need a recipe for mashed potato? You just fucking mash potato. Started appearing.
What the fuck, people?
In 1747, with an entry in The Art of Cookery by Hannah Glace, or Glass, I don't know. Well, I mean, that's ridiculous. Maybe it wasn't.
In 1747, mashed potato was invented. Potatoes have been around for many years before that.
And when was the Middle Ages like? Oh, wow, a long time before that.
Yeah, like 1600s, wasn't it?
Or 1400s. 476. It was a good 1,000 years of history, to be fair. So,
right. So I don't know why, because I know that they're completely different. But when you said Middle Ages, I wasn't thinking King Arthur. In my mind, I was thinking Tudors.
Tudors.
Yeah, I don't know.
I love it. Oh, dear.
I don't know what happened there. Slight malfunction in my noggin.
In the Middle Ages, literally is the middle. It's just a lot bigger of the middle than I thought. Does that make sense? Like, I thought the Middle Ages was maybe a couple of hundred years, 500 years. It's literally the 5th to the 15th century.
I suppose it's probably getting ever bigger as time gets bigger.
I think that is a fairly well-defined beginning and end point to the Middle Ages.
Yeah, well, there must be a point where they'll stop being the Middle Ages.
What, now they'll be the beginning ages? The early ages?
Well, not quite the beginning. The post-beginning.
Post-beginning.
Yeah. Which is, that bit of history where not a lot happened for 10 centuries.
I mean, quite a lot happened in the Middle Ages. I think it's, those are all the Middle Ages because there wasn't much technological advancement in the Middle Ages.
Yeah, that's it. Whereas nowadays, like, the ages changes sort of every 4 years, right?
The first Olympic age, the second Olympic age.
Yeah. Well, we had, like, the MySpace age, and that doesn't exist anymore.
I don't think that's a historically defined age.
It sure is. Tom was the leader of everybody.
What was his name? Tom?
I don't know. Tom was enough.
Tom MySpace.
Yeah, he's just Tom from MySpace. You know, like Duncan from Blue?
I mean, yes, he's sat here with me right now. That wasn't Duncan from Blue, by the way.
That'd be really good if nobody believed you. We all just thought you were being silly, but actually you did have Duncan from Blue with you.
That'd be so good, wouldn't it? Boy, and special guest, Duncan from Blue. Right, we've horrifically sidetracked again.
And for enough. So why don't you talk us through our reigning champ?
Okay.
Who apparently wouldn't have eaten mashed potato.
No, probably not. Okay, Saber, or there we go, Altaria Pendragon. She is from the series, both a TV series. I say TV series, I mean, it probably won't be shown in England. And manga Fate Stay Night. She is a world famous, well, to a degree, knight. Essentially, in the show, what happens is there's a holy war where spirits who are long deceased personalities are revived in the form of servants to fight on behalf of their masters in order to get the Holy Grail. And she is one of these servants. All of these servants, as I say, are famous and powerful historical figures, not necessarily entirely accurate with what we would call the real world, but in the world that it is, they are. So Old Saber, she is who once was King Arthur. King Arthur, and definitely not Queen Arthur, despite the fact she's a girl. She was King Arthur once upon a time. As a servant, she draws her magical energy from her master. All of the servants have their presence in the real world due to their masters, and they kind of provide them with energy. It's not like a physical provision. It's not like, oh, here, have a sandwich. It's more like a kind of aura drain. If your master is really tired, your servant's probably going to be tired. It's that kind of deal. It's not a fully direct correlation. If you punch the master in the face, you're not going to punch Arthur in the face. But
they sort of share not necessarily a physical connection, but like a mental one.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, as a servant, and as you would expect King Arthur to be, they are an excellent, bloody, amazing swordsman, is what I've written in my notes. Except what I've actually written in my notes is excellent, bloodier, amazing swordsman. Because I can't type. She wields an invisible sword because in the canon / lore of Fates Day Night, it is wholly disadvantageous to reveal your identity to other people, as they will have heard you and they'll know all your weaknesses and all that jazz. So she hides the true identity of her sword, and her sword is Excalibur, that well-known famous sword. Excalibur in this is a divine construct and the pinnacle of holy swords, and the strongest holy sword whose equal is the strongest demonic sword.
Did she ever fight the person with the strongest demonic sword?
Possibly. I've only seen one and a half of the series.
Seems like a sort of end game thing, doesn't it?
It might do. But alongside her sword being incredibly strong, she can unleash what is called a noble phantasm. This is like every servant's special, unique ability, power that's unique to them. Hers is releasing the power of Excalibur. It requires making Excalibur visible, which obviously gives away her identity because she's the only one who wields Excalibur. But it does mean that she can release an enormous amount of energy through the tip of the sword, which is quite good enough to, slay someone entirely with a giant beam of energy, or just probably destroy a building. I don't know. She specifically doesn't destroy buildings because she's a knight. She doesn't like blowing shit up for the sake of it. So that is her big thing. In terms of other skills, she can run up walls. It's not like defying gravity. She's not Spider-Man. She can't cling to a wall, but with momentum and, anime-style jumping. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, yeah.
Equally, she can run across water. She can heal wounds at the expense of her own energy, which therefore does also require mana from the master. So it's a short-term solution that if you had her restrained somehow, she wouldn't be able to continuously heal wounds, because eventually she'd run out of pool, if you will, and be unable to heal. She has good magic resistance, magic being sourced from other servants or whatever. She is quite frail physically in terms of her actual body, but she defends herself with her mana, allowing her to take on very strong opponents. So she uses her inner energy source as a kind of defensive aura. When I say defensive aura, I don't mean like if someone goes to attack with a sword, like it bounces off a bubble. I mean like it just enhances her intrinsic defensive capabilities.
Okay. So, it just means she takes less damage. It's like a shield.
Yeah, but it isn't a shield. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. When it's not like a shield, like an armor.
Yes.
A magical armor.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. She has really good instincts, which A, hone from being, a really good knight and a really strong servant. And these allow her to dodge incoming projectiles, which can include from gunfire. I don't think she'd be able to outlast, like minigun or something. But if there was a person with a pistol, if we met a man in the street with a gun and he was like, "I'm going to shoot you," we'd be like, "Oh, you probably are." But if she met a just generic man in the street with a gun and he went, "I'm going to shoot you," she'd probably be like, "No, you're not."
I mean, to be honest with you, I wouldn't. If I met a man on the street and he was like, "I'm going to shoot you," I'd go for the "no, you're not," just to see if I can help.
You wouldn't just say, "Oh, give up the goose." Yeah, you probably are. All right, then.
Yeah.
You got me there. In terms of her personality, she's very chivalrous. Don't get me wrong, her combat skills are literally enhanced by fighting honorably because of her innate chivalry. And therefore, fighting dishonorably is very against what she likes to do. and much prefers a fair one-on-one fight. That's not to say that she won't kill people. Indeed, her fighting style is very typically a go for the killing blow a lot of the time. So I don't know if you've watched or heard of Game of Thrones, for example. I mean, of course you've heard of it, but I don't know if you've watched it.
I've not watched it. I have heard of it.
There's a famous fight between, I think it's called the Red Viper and the Mountain. And the Mountain is a guy who's like some giant, strong, monstrous guy, and other guys, you know, a very weak guy with a spear. He does not go for finishing blows. He's a whittler. Darts around, make them go down. She is very much not that. She is very much a go in for the big blows, go in for the big blows, try and finish it as quickly as possible. And that is Saber.
Sounds pretty badass.
She's pretty badass.
So, challenging Saber today was a person who I gave a clue for last episode.
What was that clue?
The clue was she is a person with magical abilities. God, I'm really annoyed. I listened to it the other day to remind myself, remember, and it's completely gone out of my brain.
I always forget. I wouldn't worry.
I know, but normally I'm the one of the two of us who knows what's going on. Like, can he remember? Oh, God. You know what else I forgot that I really meant to say?
Talking about a podcast.
I meant to say last episode, but completely forgot that the character, because I said at the end of episode 6, I was like, oh, and on next episode, I'm going to have a fan-suggested character. Yes. And I forgot to thank the person who suggested it last episode. So retroactively, thanks, Katie, for suggesting Marcus Fenix. He's a character I really like, and it was fun to do it. It was a shame he died horribly, but never mind. So yeah, so... Oh, that was the other thing I said in the clue. They've got a new. There's a new game in series of games that this person is from coming out. And we said when we did the clue it would be early next year, but it turns out it's actually coming out in September.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Is it coming out on the Switcheroo?
I believe it is coming out on the Switch.
Oh my God!
It's definitely out on Xbox, PlayStation and PC. But I think it is on Switch as well.
That'll be so cool. And then I can play it.
But yeah, so the game series is Borderlands, and the character I'm bringing from Borderlands 1 is Lilith.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's pretty badass. She was the first character I ever played with from Borderlands.
I think I played as the assassin, whoever that was.
Mordecai. He was the character I mainly played with.
I didn't play the first Borderlands.
Oh, in which case Zero.
Yes, that was him.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so Lilith. That's cool. So, Lilith is a siren. One of the 6 sirens that exist in the Borderlands universe. The sirens are powerful women from the planet Dionysus who are able to perform magical abilities. And I think we've met across the Borderlands series so far 3 of the 6 sirens.
Yes. I don't know.
So there's Lilith, Angel, and whoever the siren in the second game is, which escapes me currently.
Oh, that you play as?
Yeah.
Maya.
Yes, those are the 3 that have been in it so far. And then there's one who, I can't remember her name, who is going to be in Borderlands 3, who looks like she's going to be the heavy of the game, which is interesting.
Mm.
So Lilith's main magical power is the Phase Walk ability. This allows her to turn invisible and invulnerable, and she will gain super speed. This ability can last for up to 6 seconds, and upon both beginning and finishing this ability, she creates a phase blast, which is an explosion of elemental damage.
Ooh.
I know, right? It's pretty cool.
What kind of element?
It can, well, the elements in Borderlands, there are 4 elements, which is fire, corrosive, static, and explosive.
Yep.
So it'll be one of those 4.
Fair enough.
Depending on what each person has equipped. And I will get to what Lilith we're going to use it has equipped later. So Lilith is a vault hunter by trade, which is someone who searches for hidden vaults full of treasure across the planet of Pandora. You play as a group of vault hunters in the first game looking for the vaults. When you eventually open the vault, it doesn't actually have any treasure in it. It has a crazy demon from another dimension who is called the Destroyer.
Hashtag spoilers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really old game.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
But, you know, what was the biggest spoiler was the ending of the game, because after you killed the Destroyer, you didn't get to go in the vault. The portal just closed, and it was like, oh, game over. And that was really upsetting to everyone. Because the first Borderlands, don't get me wrong, like, proper 9.5 out of 10 game would be 10 out of 10 had the ending not absolutely sucked.
What would you prefer it to be? Like, you go through the portal and...
Yeah, you get to go into the vault and, you know, there's treasure and stuff.
Oh, I see. You didn't... So you just... Oh, that sucks. Yeah.
Yeah, you open, like, the portal to another dimension. The big demon comes out. You're like, oh, man, this is crazy. You kill it and then the portal to the other dimension closes and you don't get to go in the vault.
Well, that's rupee.
However, the thing that then happened after the Destroyer was defeated is that Iridium became released into the universe, which is like a powerful magic crystal thing you find in the second Borderlands game.
It is.
And Iridium can be used to power up Siren's abilities as well as heal Siren's because they can take the magic from it. And then using Iridium to increase her power in the second game, Lilith took on the alias of the Firehawk and she became the leader of the Bloodshot's gang. So, you know, she has like a whole gang of soldiers under her command, as well as incredible fiery powers.
Yay!
Yay! So I guess canonically, her phase walk should probably be Fire Element. In Borderlands, you can spend skill points to upgrade characters in a variety of different ways. And I understand that everybody playing Lilith would have, well, not everybody, because there's only limited possibilities, but you know, people would have played her differently. You cannot get enough skill points to max out every single ability in the Borderlands games. So I decided to see how Lilith would be in our podcast, is I would look up a few strategy guides on how best to use Lilith.
Yeah.
And then kind of take from that.
Okay.
So the Lilith we're going to be using has skills which improve her elemental powers, improve her abilities with SMGs and sniper rifles, and increase her critical hit damage, meaning headshots are even more deadly than they already are.
Excellent.
She also can get abilities which increase her melee damage, which can be combined with her phase walk, because while she is in the phase walk, if during that 6 seconds that she's in it, she melee attacks somebody, that will instantly cause the phase walk to finish, but will do a super-powered melee attack, as well as the then explosion of element damage from her leaving her phase walk, which if you then combine with the abilities to make her melee damage more powerful, is like a really good move.
Yeah.
And then for anybody who knows Borderlands, you'll know that one of the selling points to it is that there are thousands of guns.
Literally billions of guns.
Well, that was Borderlands 3, isn't it? Yeah, because I think the first one was like, there are thousands of guns. The second one was like, there are millions of guns. And then they've said for Borderlands 3, there will be 1 billion guns.
A bit in the advert is fantastic. Where just like,
yes.
Like, oh yes, billions of guns, and all these guns just rain down from the ceiling.
So I figured, as she has those that improve her abilities, she would have an SMG and a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
In Borderlands, you can have 4 guns on you, by the way. So, yeah, she'd have an SMG, a sniper rifle, and then because she has powered up melee attacks, she would probably want to get in close. Also, a shotgun, and then I reckon just for the fourth weapon, like default pistol.
Yep.
That seems reasonable to you?
It doesn't matter. Well, that seems reasonable to me. She's your hero.
Well, it kind of does. That was what I was true. Thinking.
Yes, it does.
Okay. And then, again, where she is, like, is better with elements in combat. I think all of those 4 guns should be elemental, but where there are so many different random guns, I thought what would be fun is if we rolled a d4 to decide what element each of those weapons were.
Okay.
And we can do the same for her phase walk, unless you just want to go with the canonic fire.
Fire seems reasonable for that.
Okay, so we do fire for that. Okay, so what element is her sniper rifle? Should we say 1 is fire, 2 is corrosive, 3 is static, and 4 is explosive?
Sure.
Cool.
2.
So she has a corrosive sniper rifle. Corrosive damage is basically, it means like the bullets explode with acid, so it just starts like searing into flesh. It's very good against armor or flesh.
It's not that good against flesh, is it? I thought it was better against like metals and armored.
Yeah, I mean, it is primarily for armor, actually, I suppose, isn't it? But I mean, it will do extra damage to people.
Next gun.
Yeah, so then the SMG.
2.
Also corrosive. The shotgun?
4.
An explosive shotgun. Explosive sort of speaks for itself. The shells from that shotgun will explode. And then the pistol?
Also 4. A wide variety.
Cool. So she's got 2 corrosive and 2 explosive weapons. That's fun. That's a bit of a shame. I wanted her to have a static sniper rifle, but never mind.
Oh well, maybe next time.
But, you know, essentially summed up, that's Lilith, ready to go.
What? Is that the only siren ability she has? The phase walk, I swear.
Phase walk, yeah.
Can't she do some other... Oh, I suppose she uses that to move a fucking city.
Yeah, and yeah, she did do the thing in Borderlands 2 where she moved to City, but that was with an extreme amount of iridium. She was able to sort of teleport, and it was that is considered an enhanced version of her phase walk she can do when powered up on iridium.
Yeah, I just feel it's worth knowing that that's something that she can do.
Sure, I suppose if the arena we happen to battle in is filled with iridium, then she would get more powers. You know, kind of like the anti-kryptonite, isn't it?
Anti-kryptonite. Excellent. Speaking of arenas.
So I guess really it's time to roll the die of death.
Die of death. What number are you hoping for today?
I mean, 18 is still my favourite. I suppose while we sort out the die of death, who do you feel like one of them is more likely to win? Do you have, like, you again don't need to tell me, but is there one you think go before you think, yeah, they'd win, unless the arena absolutely screws them?
Don't know. It's tough. Like, because Lilith is more probably mid ranged than Arthur, who's probably more close range. And
that's true. But Lilith does have powerful melee attacks.
I'm not saying she doesn't have powerful
fiery melee attacks.
Melee attacks. I'm just in general.
Yeah, but I don't know. A 1 or an 18, I think, were both my two favourites on the list at the moment. If we roll a 14, then Lilith will definitely lose.
I would quite like a prime number, because I like prime numbers.
Okay, in which case roll a 7.
Okay, right, you ready for this? Oh, you got one of your numbers, 18.
Right, when I came up with my initial 20 before this podcast started, this was my favourite thing on the list, and I'm so excited that we're finally having a fight here.
Okay, what is it?
Today's battle is taking place on a train travelling from Southampton Central to London Waterloo.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Which means if the fight takes longer than an hour and a half, they'll arrive at London.
Well, there'll probably be leaves on the line. I'm sorry, the National Rail have had to postpone this duel due to leaves on the line. Oh, that's excellent.
Amazing. Okay.
Right, so are they on the train or are they on the train?
I feel like on the train as normal passengers, not on the train as in on the roof.
Okay.
They're within a carriage.
Okay, no, that's cool.
Well, this is what I was just going to say. Do you think they'd have brought tickets?
Lilith, probably not. Artoria, absolutely. It's a goddamn night.
In which case, I reckon absolutely what's going to happen, how this fight's going to start, is the conductor guy, not the conductor, but like the train man, is coming around looking for tickets. And he'll go out to Lilith and be like, tickets, please. And she'll be like, I don't have a ticket. And I'll be like, oh, man, that's all hassle. And, you know, people will turn and stare and be like, oh, who's the person about the ticket? And as she does that, she'll be like, hey, that's Saber, and we have to fight. Da, 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 da.
Hey, that's Saber, we have to fight. And the ticket conductor will be like, you what?
Yeah, she'll just, like, push the ticket conductor out of the way and just start firing guns. It'd be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I can absolutely see Artoria Pendragon just sitting on a train nonchalantly, probably next to me, because, you know, this is the ongoing canon that are selected.
Having a nice dinner of pie and not mash.
Yes, of pie and regular potatoes. And then I have pie and mash, and she'll be like, what is this? What is this madness?
And then all of a sudden, her pie gets exploded by a... It would get corroded by a shot from a corrosive...
Oh, yeah, the pie tin gets melted. The pie itself is still reasonably okay. Reasonably okay. Yeah. Excellent. Right, okay. That's how it begins. So,
wait, also, I feel like we should decide what time of day is this happening? Because that will very much determine... I mean, a train from Southampton to London is always going to be fairly busy. But if it's sort of like 9 o'clock in the morning, well, 8 o'clock in the morning, it's going to be absolutely packed.
That's a fair comment.
Similarly, if it's sort of like 5 o'clock in the evening.
I feel we should determine this randomly. And you know what dice is perfect for that and barely ever gets used?
A 12-sided dice. That'll give you your hour.
A D12.
A D12 followed by a coin flip for AM or PM.
Well, let's do the coin flip first.
All right.
Right, heads or tails? Wait, that doesn't make sense. Heads is morning. It's morning. So this is an AM train.
Okay. Yep.
At 5 a.m. So it's probably the first train in the morning.
Okay. So there's probably only about 4 or 5 people per carriage. Like, that's not too bad, actually.
I reckon it's busier than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a busy thing.
Okay, well, how many people do you think is there then?
How much does a carriage hold? Like 100 people?
40 people.
That definitely holds more than 100, than 40. I reckon there's probably, the train is a third full. But I mean, I don't know, I've not been on a train to London at 5 in the morning.
No, I haven't. Okay, you can, well, give me a rough number of people.
On the train or per carriage?
Per carriage.
27.
Okay, so there's 25 to 30 people per carriage.
Yes.
Ticket man's come around, asked some tickets. Lilith's been like, no, I don't have any. Started causing the scene. People have turned to look because people on trains are nosy.
People on trains are.
Lilith's realised one of the people looking at her is Saber, who she's supposed to be killing. She pulled out her pistol, fired a few shots randomly, dissolved the pie tin. Devastating. Ruined your early morning pie.
And I do love a bit of breakfast pie.
Right. And then all of a sudden, the fight begins. People on the train are freaking out because somebody's just fired an acid pistol.
Right.
No, it wasn't an acid pistol. It was an explosive pistol, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Apologies. So your pie is blown up.
That's less than ideal.
Mm. Fight begins. So what do you think Saber's going
to
do?
Jump to out of the seat. And normally, so I didn't mention this before because it mostly isn't important, but she can materialize like her battle armor just around her. So she's normally, if there's no call for it, she'll just be in, you know, casual clothes and then materialize the armor when necessary. So jump out and then sword in hand that Lilith can't see and materialize battle armor and be like, what the hell are you doing shooting up this plane? Train.
She'd be like, well, I'm taking you down, aren't I? Far enough, a few more shots.
Artoria's going to be suddenly very defensive, moving defensively, trying to block some bullets where possible. Probably not going to block all of them. She's in a train. It's quite confined.
Also, each one of them explodes.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you might block the first one, but that would, like, really push you back and sort of stagger you.
That would be awkward. So, and then try and... A carriage is quite awkward to run up. I guess, you know, Lilith... How much does Lilith care about killing innocent civilians?
She would definitely rather not. She is, on the whole, a good person. However, she is very used to killing lots of people. So, yeah, I think she would try not to, but if they did die, she wouldn't necessarily be beaten up about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she the whole point in the pre-sequel is she kind of is a bit grumpus about Jack killing lots of people.
Yeah, yeah. She doesn't really necessarily like innocent people dying. So, yeah, I don't think she would be doing it on purpose. But firing explosive shots in a train would probably hurt people.
Yeah, but, yeah, she's probably unlikely to stop doing it just because of that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, cool. She would probably, like, do it but regret later.
That's fine. I think Artoria would probably try and get the people out of there. Well, not necessarily ferry them out, but at least say, oh, hey, guys, you need to leave. You know, like, and probably try and defend them a bit.
How do you think the people, what do you think the pedestrians would be doing? Like, because they're not going to be able to get out into the gangway, like, where there's bullets, and also it's hard enough to get past people.
Probably.
Do you think they're going to be starting to climb over chairs?
I think either if they're near an exit, near a door, and it's easy, they'll just get out. And if not, they'll probably just duck and cower.
Yeah.
As a reason.
I think most people are going to be ducking. But they're still going to be panicking and, you know, there's going to be screaming.
Oh, yes, there will be screams. Yeah, so we'll probably yell at the passengers, like, get down or get out or something. And just try and act a bit defensively to start. You know, try and help block some of any strays or whatever. Because she's quite competent there. Not necessarily fully defending herself from bullets, but, you know, being able to do a fair way in mitigating most of the problems associated with bullets.
Mm-hmm.
And after everyone's either down or whatever, which is going to take, you know, a reasonable amount of time for her to assess, Nem would try go for the old attacko. But at which point, you know, Lilith's got quite a lot of opportunity to do whatever she wants to do.
Well, I think Lilith would have, like, unloaded the clip of her pistol, you know, sort of firing, causing explosions everywhere. I imagine a lot of the windows on the train are starting to, like, blow out and stuff. Maybe a few of the chairs around Saber have sort of lost bits of them, or certainly, like, quite blackened by explosions.
Yep.
So I think Lilith would then, like, as her clip goes out, would probably duck behind the nearest chair to her and either reload it or possibly swap to the SMG, as it's a bit more of a spray at close range.
Yeah, this probably seems like a reasonable idea. SMGs are pretty good at mid-range, mid-close range.
Yeah.
And that
so
was
yeah, she'd probably do that.
That was an acid one as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would...
So that's it. So you've gone, oh man, this pistol's explosive. I can just about block that, but it's more than I was expecting. She'll duck down behind a chair for a second, which I imagine will allow you to get a bit closer to her. But then she'll pop back up and start spraying corrosive SMG bullets around the cabin. Carriage, not cabin.
Yeah, same difference.
That's it. So corrosive bullets are flying at you while you eat your pie. Sabre's there under the spray of, corrosive bullets.
Definitely not under the
sabre. People around freaking out because there's acid burning through the chairs behind them.
So Sabre's got to do something about this. And you say lifts behind a chair.
Yeah, I reckon she'd be like sort of popping over the top of it.
Okay, so how far down the carriage?
Maybe like, I feel like Lilith would be at the end.
Yeah.
And maybe you might be sort of halfway down.
Okay, so I suppose it makes sense that you're at the end as you got on the train. So Artoria or Sabre's got to try and run down because she's very much a finishing kind of blow person. So we'd probably just go for a straight charge / dash down the center of the train.
Mm-hmm.
Just run with this sword drawn going, yeah, or some kind of anime yell.
Anime yell.
Yeah, anime yell.
She would be under fire whilst doing this from
yes.
corrosive bullets.
Would Lilith fire specifically at Artoria? I mean, I know this is next level strategies here, but would she just go for, you know, fire around the entire train canopy, try and split the train in two if she's got a corrosive weapon?
Probably not. She'd probably just aim at Sabre.
It's what I would do.
What, you'd split the train up?
Yeah, but I'm not her.
In my mind, right, the train is moving in the direction Lilith's facing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So if she split the train up, Sabre would go far away, and then she wouldn't be able to kill Sabre anymore.
I suppose that's true.
I mean, I suppose she could try and get a sniper rifle out and do it that way, but...
yes. This is a long-range game.
But no, I don't think she'd do that. I think she'd try and just shoot
okay.
Sabre with her SMG.
Start rattling off some more bullets. They're going to... I mean, I'm not sure what her armor's made of. She's using the SMG. The SMG was acid, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's leather armor or if it's full plate. Ooh, it looks like well-plated metal armor with some dress. So her armor is going to be rendered pretty ineffective fairly quickly because it's made of metal and your bullets are literally designed to burn through metal. So that would probably not go too well. But at the same time, probably not going to kill before the ground is made.
Okay.
I wouldn't have thought. So then you're going to have a problem of, well, Liv is going to have an invisible sword in her face problem. That well-known problem.
I don't think so, because I think if, say, we get too close, Lilith would activate her phase walk, because that turns her invisible.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
So, firstly, it would be phase walk. Entering it would cause an explosion of fire.
Okay.
So, it's fair to say the seats, at least around like that end of the carriage, are now on fire because they've got that weird, like, crappy fabric on them.
They really do. If you haven't traveled on Southwest trains, you don't know.
You said you're wearing a dress over your armor, so that may well
at
least be burned.
It's like a dressy armor.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily saying that would catch fire, but it would certainly be burnt up a bit.
Yeah.
And you would probably take some sort of at least heat damage from the fact that your armor is rendered quite useless.
Yeah, okay.
And Lilith could then move. I don't think she'd be able to get past you or climb over chairs or stuff in 6 seconds. But I reckon she could just move to the chairs on, like, if she's on the chairs on your left at the moment, she'd move to the chairs on your right.
6 seconds is a lot more time than you think it is. It is the time from now. To now.
Okay. Well, do you think Lilith would be able to get behind her then?
She would be able to, but she's only invisible, isn't she? She doesn't like reduce her effects on the world around. So I think either she'd be able to stealthily move from one side to the other, or probably give away her position and I don't mean give away a position as in, oh, I can pinpoint you right there, but would be able to get to behind, but Sabre would probably notice because you would see, you know, seat squidging in. She wouldn't be able to do it slowly and stealthily. Does that make sense?
No, but I mean, she would. She does have super speed, so she might be able to do it quick enough that even if Sabre does know that's what she's doing, she won't be able to react to it.
Okay.
So yeah, so she'd probably climb over the seat then, because she's invulnerable while she's invisible as well, so it wouldn't matter if the seat's on fire. So yeah, she'd jump over the seat in front of her, and then just like do a super powered melee attack in Sabre's back.
Okay, yeah.
Which again would create another explosion of fire.
She's gone invisible, would probably expect something around the back room. As she is invisible and she's never met Liv, she probably wouldn't expect speed. So probably would get caught off guard and have a massive slap in the back. But how does Liv stay close during that?
Once the melee attack has happened, she would appear again.
Okay, because I think, you know, although we discussed that Sabre is frail body, she isn't at poor strength yet. You know, she hasn't been like weakened down or whatever. So I think she would be able to give a good attempt at a swing round after being attacked in the back.
Okay.
Although it wouldn't be as effective or efficient as a non, you know, as if she hadn't just been hit in the back.
Sure. But you've got to bear in mind, she's not only been hit in the back, she's also been hit in the back and been caught by an explosion of fire.
Yeah, that's true. But does the fire count as magical? Probably not.
I mean, I guess so, because her phase walk, all her sirens, but her phase walk ability is like magic, isn't it? The siren abilities are magical.
Okay, because Sabre does have good magical resistance. I was just thinking if it was like actual fire, but I mean, I think the fire itself is probably, you know, because if it was fire from a bullet, like an elementary bullet, that wouldn't be magical fire. That's just normal fire.
No, that would be legit fire.
Yeah.
I guess that would be like mini napalm, wouldn't it?
So I think that the fire associated with the explosion probably is just normal fire.
No, I think it would be magical fire because it's coming from Lilith, not from gunpowder.
Okay, so it won't be as debilitating as Lilith might suspect.
No, but the powerful attack to her back would still be powerful.
Right, and at this point, I'm going to throw in the wild card. A passenger grabs the emergency brake. We wanted this in the sinking boat. And I feel that someone absolutely, if there was chaos in shooting, would grab hold of the emergency brake in the train between Southampton Central and London Waterloo.
Okay. So what, they're probably now just outside Winchester and the train has been suddenly stopped?
Sure. I mean, I don't know how fast a train suddenly stops, to be honest. It's probably not the same as being in a car where you go...
Oh, no. I say suddenly stops, like suddenly de-accelerates. It'd probably stop in sort of 20 seconds, 10, 20 seconds.
I don't know. We're not train experts.
But there would be a sudden a lurch in the cabin, I reckon.
Yes, I would agree.
If sort of Sabre's already stumbling forward from being hit in the back and trying to swing round with her sword, she would definitely fall, I reckon, and land on her back.
Well, it would be a front. The lurch would go forward.
Yes, but if she's spinning anyway.
Yeah, but she would... Because she was spinning from facing not direction of travel to facing direction of travel. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, all right. So, she'd fall forward.
And then?
Like, basically face plant with her face in between Lilith's legs then, yeah?
I think Lilith would also probably stumble.
Yeah, I think Lilith would fall down, but probably, like, onto her bum. She wouldn't be completely prone.
Yes. Yeah, that seems... kind of fair, especially if she's just been hit in the back, swung around, train breaks, there's a lurch, falls forward. Lilith manages to, you know, still falls backwards, but manages to use her arms to just like, you know, bump herself on the chairs, and means she just stands sat rather than prone.
Yeah, so Lilith is sat up with Sabre's head in between her legs because Sabre's basically face planted.
Yeah, probably.
So I think that would be Lilith's chance to go for her shotgun. You know, explosive shotgun into Sabre.
How long does it take to draw a shotgun?
I don't know, half a second.
Half a second? Do you think you can draw a gun off your back in half a second?
I'm just thinking how quick it is in Borderlands.
Oh, that's fair.
I'm just thinking, it's really, because you don't actually have to draw a weapon, do you? Like, it's as quick as it takes for me to move my hand off screen and on screen again.
Yeah, okay, it's pretty damn quick in those games.
Because video games, I understand it'd be longer in real life.
Oh yeah, but most of these people are assuming physical laws from their... physical origins.
Sure. Well, maybe call it like a second and a half then.
No. I'm saying it would be fast.
Okay.
You know, for the most part, we're keeping the laws of their own universes, because otherwise it would be A, unfair, and B, really difficult to manage. So yeah, could draw out a shotgun pretty quick.
Yeah, and then she'd shoot Saber the shotgun.
That wouldn't be ideal. I mean, yeah, I don't see anything really that's going to help there, because it's all very well and good saying it's got nice mana and all that jazz that helps defend, but at the same time, it is, I believe that was an explosive shotgun as well.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, like if it was halfway down the train, I'd be like, yeah, that would hurt and knock her back. But at that range, there's probably not much that can be done against that.
So yeah, I mean, her back may well explode then.
Well, her head.
And her head.
I mean, she was getting shot in the head, wasn't she?
I don't know if she would. It would probably be more back, because if her head's in between Lilith's legs, I don't know if Lilith would shoot an explosive there.
Oh, okay.
So I was thinking more sort of lower back area.
Well, I mean, either way, it's, even if it was the lower back and doesn't go for a straight kill, it's going to be pretty debilitating, and Lilith could easily just shunt herself back, roll back, and then go for the head.
Yeah.
It's unideal.
Absolutely. No. So it may well be that Saber has died.
I probably agree with you.
Sad for her.
It is. She didn't even get to see Winchester. You know, barely went past the plumbing centre in Eastleigh.
Well, that was because some dick pulled the brake.
I mean, you say some dick. I mean, if the terrorist was shooting up the train, you'd probably pull the emergency brake.
I don't know if I would. I would probably do as much as I could to stay out of sight, not draw attention to myself.
Well, to be fair, though, there easily could have been a passerby in one of the other carriages who's just like, oh, shit, the train's on fire back there, and not knowing what was going on.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, there could have been any number of reasons.
Yeah.
I originally would have thought that close quarters would have done it, but to be honest, it was probably too close quarters. Well, not too close quarters.
No, I think the close quarters was good to say, but it was all the obstacles of all like the chairs and like, had it been like that sort of size compartment, but open.
Yeah, it was narrow and obstructive. Yeah. Then the wild card really threw it off there, but you know, that's what we're here for.
Well, I'm just happy that actually got used in a fight now.
And 20 chance.
So yeah, I guess we'll need a clue for your next guy or gal or it.
This person has featured in many games, including games which are not directly from their franchise. Typically, they produce endless and impossible amounts of explosives.
Amazing.
Do you think you know who it is?
Yes. Yes, I do. I don't know, do I?
Okay.
Is it someone I would know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, you would know them.
I mean, yeah, I think I know. I think I know who makes big and endless amounts of explosives. Who's from video games? Is it a Nintendo character?
Yes.
Cool. But amazing. Super looking forward to that. So yeah, that was episode 8. Hope you enjoyed it. And I guess we're going to see Lilith in episode 9, hopefully, with all of you guys listening in.
Listening.
This has been part of the TTSS Productions. You can find on TinkerTailorSoldierSponge.com, where there are other podcasts you can listen to, as well as blogs you can read.
Muchos blogs.
Anything you want to say before we go?
Every odd number can be written as the difference of two squares. I just happened to watch a video on it recently, even though it's quite an obvious and unprofound fact.
Okay, I guess all that's left to say is bye!
Bye!